Good morning, I'm Andrew Eve. Welcome to Bond Vigilantes TV. European and US banks are sectors which have continued to garner attention this year, but with quite different stories playing out for fixed income and equity investors. To get a fuller perspective, I'm pleased to be joined this morning by Stephanie Betts, an investment specialist from M&G's equities floor. Good morning, Stephanie.
Morning, Andrew.
If we look at credit spreads for US and European banks, we see quite a similar picture post-2008, spreads continuing to tighten in recent years. With equities, it's a different story. US banks doing very well, their European counterparts failing to gain much momentum behind them. What do you put that down to?
I think the reaction from European banks to the fallout of Lehman Brothers was a lot slower, and therefore the pain went on for longer. I think that's a general story between the US and Europe in terms of adjusting to, you know, various big events. And the biggest headwind that the European banks have had to face over the last, pretty much the last 10 years, has been the advent of Basel 1, 2, 3, 4, coming up, which has forced them to recapitalize quite intensively. And I think that's probably what's been holding them back until now. And we finally see the end of that process coming up. So we have a much clearer picture now of the various banks' profitability.
Okay. Yields are obviously supportive for banks. If we look, for example, at German Bund yields and European banks' equity, we see a very high correlation. Is that giving us the full picture?
I think they're supportive for some, and it's certainly a good chart, but it's not the full picture. If you look at the other chart, which shows a very clear sensitivity of various banks to interest rates, I think that's probably closer to reality. And what really matters is the various business models. So investors are going to have to dig a lot deeper in order to find out, you know, what's going to drive a specific bank's, you know, results. So if you take, for instance, a bank like Standard Chartered, you might think, well, it's English, not much growth to be had here at the moment, or not enormous compared to other sectors or the regions. But in fact, 70% plus of their revenues will be coming this year from emerging markets, showing much faster growth. So that's one way of looking at it. The second way is to look at the various mix inside the business model, whether they're investment banking biased, whether they're retail biased, or whether they're more of a sort of wealth management asset gatherer model. And all of them will have a different mix. So it's really looking at the different drivers for the different mix and then the overall economy. So it's quite an interesting and challenging type of investment.
Okay, great. And finally, I was interested to see on Bloomberg the other day that the market cap of Apple is fast approaching that of the iStocks Euro Banks Index. I wonder if in a few years it will even overtake it. What do you make of that?
So I think that at the moment it's certainly quite a fun chart. But going forward, I think we're going to feel a bit more bite from the fangs. And without being funny. But the reality is the stock market sometimes looks a little bit irrational. But at the end of the day, it tends to very clearly replicate what's happening in our daily sort of lives. And in particular, if I take, here's an example, when you wake up in the morning, I doubt, well, I hope you don't, reach out for your Barclays card or HSBC statement.
<I don't. laughs>
That's good. I'm pleased to know that. But the reality is most of us, I assume, are grabbing the iPhone to check, you know, weather news, alarm clock, financial news, hopefully. And that is really what's happening. So after, you know, Apple Pay, it's not totally insane to think, you know, Apple might potentially one day offer banking services, especially as they're trying to move away from a simple model, where they're selling mostly products towards more subscription, more content, more services. It does make some sense, and it wouldn't be totally impossible. So it's a bit of a Pandora's box we're opening here. But, you know, I'm talking also about, you know, big tech and big data, and that's probably something for another day.
Yep, absolutely. Okay, thanks very much for joining us, Stephanie.
You're welcome.
Looking ahead to this week, central banks will be the focus today with several speakers in Paris. This morning, the Fed's Mester and ECB's Villeroy. Data-wise, quite quiet, other than April's retail sales report being released in the US on Tuesday. Thanks very much for joining us. Have a great week, everyone.